The Senate today begins its second week of debate on the McCain-Feingold campaign finance bill. So far, much of the debate has focused on principle. Pro-reform senators have condemned the corrupting influence of big money. Anti-reform senators have defended the current system in the name of free speech. A more practical matter is how the bill would affect the way lawmakers raise money to run their campaigns. Democrats and Republicans have differing strengths and weaknesses in raising campaign money. NPR's Mara Liasson reports.
The goal of the McCain-Feingold bill is to get rid of soft money, the large, unrestricted donations that go to the political parties. You'd think that kind of reform would be a boon to Democrats, whose natural constituents have much smaller incomes than the Republicans. Not so, says Larry Makinson, a campaign finance reformer at the Center for Responsive Politics.
That's what you'd think, but if you look at the money, you find some very interesting patterns here. First of all, both parties were virtually even. I mean, it was neck and neck in how much money they raised in soft money, the big unlimited contributions in the last election.
If McCain-Feingold or something like it passes, soft money would be gone, and the two parties would be competing for hard money, the limited contributions that the party committees and candidates raise from individuals. In the race for these contributions, the playing field is not level at all. Republicans raise much more hard money overall, $447 million last year, to the Democrats' $270 million. And when you compare the size of the checks each party collects, the differences get even more pronounced. Larry Makinson.
One of the ironies here is that the Democrats are actually more dependent on a relatively small population of big donors than the Republicans are. The Democrats get big chunks of money from places like New York, L.A., Washington, Miami. Republicans get money from virtually every town that's big enough to have a chamber of commerce. And a lot of those people have been farmed over the years by a very effective direct mail apparatus that the Republicans have set up and that the Democrats, I think, have been jealous of for a couple of decades. But the Republicans have got a real money-making machine there, and they've been able to collect the small dollars that the Democrats might feel they deserve, but they haven't been able to tap into.
As one Democratic operative explained in frustration, the people who turn out for us, African Americans and union members, are not the same people who write checks to us. But the Republicans' donor base is their voter base. The numbers tell the story. For individual hard money contributions of $1,000 and up, the statistics are about what you'd expect. Republicans do have an advantage here, but not that big a one. But in the race for contributions of $20, $30, $40, $50, $100, the Democrats are simply left in the dust. Last year, Democrats raised $60 million in donations $200 and under. Republicans raised $204 million, more than three times as much. How did that happen? Small contributions are not collected at fancy fundraising dinners in Hollywood. They come through the mail. Raising money by direct mail takes a big investment of resources and a lot of work, but the formula is fairly simple.
We've basically rented names of individuals who had a tendency to want to participate.
That's Wyatt Stewart, the former director of finance and administration at the Republican National Committee.
We went to a list of names and people who had shown an interest in contributing to like causes that might be things that the Republican Party was involved in at the time.
Stewart was the mastermind behind the RNC's direct mail fundraising operation from the 1970s to the mid-90s. Stewart is proud of what he built over the years. He started in 1974, right after Watergate, when the party was flat on its back, and only 16% of American voters were willing to identify themselves as Republicans. And Stewart heaped scorn on the Democrats for not keeping up with lower-income donors.
The Democratic Party builds itself as the party of the working man, the little guy, the guy that doesn't have the money to go out and lobby and spend all those hundreds of thousands of dollars getting their point across. But in fact, they could have, in my opinion. I mean, are you telling me that in 1974 the Republican Party had a better opportunity to go out and raise money from the working guy, the people that have the capacity to give $25 or $30 than the Democrats did?
There are several theories about why the Democrats don't do as well with small donors. They weren't willing or able to invest the huge amount of upfront money a successful direct mail operation needs. Democratic Party officials say they did try to mimic the Republicans, buying membership lists just like Wyatt Stewart did from like-minded organizations. But while the Republicans had great success turning members of, say, the National Rifle Association or the Christian Coalition into donors to the Republican National Committee, Democrats were not as successful at convincing members of Planned Parenthood or the Sierra Club to write small checks to the Democratic Party. And there's another reason. Over the past 8 years, Democrats simply got dependent on the extraordinary abilities of Bill Clinton to rake in soft money contributions. David Wilhelm was the Democratic Party chair in 1993 and 94. He tried to increase the party's small donor base.
It's sort of a self-fulfilling prophecy. You're behind on that, so you got to raise more money. So where are you going to get that money quickly? You're going to get it from large donors. You got to somehow break that cycle, and it takes an investment and it takes a commitment. We're the party of the little guy. We're the party that stands up on issues ranging from civil rights to fair taxation to quality public education. We ought to be also the party of the small donor.
Democrats' comparative difficulties raising hard dollars overall, and small dollars in particular, make them much more dependent on soft money. Soft money was almost half of the Democrats' total fundraising take last year, but only about a third of the Republicans. And that's why some Democrats are getting cold feet about a ban on soft money. So far, only one Democrat, John Breaux of Louisiana, has announced he won't vote for McCain-Feingold. The rest of the party is holding firm for now. But Democratic Party officials, whose job it is to actually raise campaign cash, have no trouble restraining their enthusiasm for a soft money ban. Eric Smith of the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee says McCain-Feingold won't level the playing field for Democrats, but it will freeze in place the Republicans' fundraising advantages. So why is the Democratic Party still supporting McCain-Feingold? Smith answers carefully.
This is part of the Democratic platform. Reform has become an important part of the Democratic message, an important part of the policy that Democrats support. Liberal to conservative Democrats, everyone seems to believe in this, and for better or for worse, we'll play by the new rules.
Even if the rules stay the same, the Democrats' new fundraising parity with the Republicans on soft money may soon disappear. Reform advocate Larry Makinson says the reason Democrats pulled even with the Republicans in the chase for big, unlimited donations last year is simple. They had the White House.
One of the cardinal rules of money in politics is that money follows power. So the loss of the White House by the Democrats and the failure of the Democrats to take back the House of Representatives, although they certainly made gains in the Senate, but they didn't take that back either, that's going to really affect their ability to draw soft money in 2002 and 2004 if soft money is still around in those years.
As the second week of debate on the McCain-Feingold bill begins in the Senate, it's impossible to predict whether soft money will be around next year. Many political insiders thought that the bill would surely die on the floor of the Senate. But so far, it has survived every hostile amendment, and the situation is extremely fluid. Several Democrats say privately their worst nightmare is if the Republicans suddenly gave up their opposition to a ban on soft money. Last week, Don Nichols, the second-ranking Republican in the Senate, suggested he was willing to do just that. Although the rest of the Republican leadership is still opposed to a soft money ban, Nichols says he'd be willing to get rid of all unlimited donations in exchange for an increase in the limits on hard money. The Senate Democratic leaders say they want the hard money limits to stay just where they are, but not all Democrats agree. Members on both sides of the aisle are scrambling to determine the answer to a very complicated question. Exactly where does their commitment to principle end and self-interest begin? Sponsors of the bill say they're trying to work out a compromise. Mara Liasson, NPR News, Washington.